So as we enter the fourth week of Advent, you know, what better way to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christmas than to look at the events through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary? And that's what our readings point us to. The first reading from Micah predicts the woman, she who is to give birth when she has come. In our gospel, we have the account of the visitation when the Blessed Virgin Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth. In this today's gospel reading is packed with teachings about Mary. There's all sorts of Old Testament events that Luke is paralleling and things he's bringing together. You could teach an entire course just on that gospel reading. But I want to focus on three of Mary's virtues in terms of things that we can pull to help us prepare for the coming of Christmas. And those are the three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So the first one is faith. The very last line of the gospel, it's a beautiful line. Elizabeth says, "Blessed are you who believed that what the Lord had spoken would be fulfilled." Blessed are you who believed that what the Lord had spoken would be fulfilled. What better way to greet our Lord and to welcome him into the world than with faith? And Mary certainly gives us a tremendous example of faith. You know, any mother who's conceived her first child would be nervous. You know, they're like, "Well, I need to make sure I eat the right foods, and what do I need to do to care for this child?" But the Blessed Virgin Mary, more than simply conceiving and bearing a regular child, she was conceiving and bearing the God who created the heavens and earth. You know, imagine just the uncertainty and the fear that she would have had. I mean, that's pretty awe-inspiring to think that she would be conceiving and bearing the Lord of heaven and earth. And yet she responds with faith. You know, more than the fear and the trepidation that would cause, she responded with obedience and with faith. And I think that faith is a good lesson to us. You know, do we trust in the Lord's promises? Is that where our faith is? You know, if we really trusted in the Lord's promises, we would never sin. You know, if we really believed in eternal life, we would not allow the distractions of this world to ever sidetrack us to do something that would be offensive to our Lord. If we had that real solid faith, we would never commit a sin. If we had that kind of faith, if our house burned down, it wouldn't be that big of a deal to us. I mean, it might be a minor inconvenience. Oh, yeah, we have to replace some stuff, but it wouldn't matter all that much. If we lost our life savings, it wouldn't matter that much because we're not created to have a life savings. We're created for the glory of heaven. We would be willing to give freely of our possessions to whoever asks of us. If we had solid faith, our lives and the way that we live them would be different than a regular person without faith in the world. You know, if we had that type of faith, we would never allow sports or other things to interfere with our practice of our faith. You know, so often those become dominant in people's lives to the point where they'll actually skip mass for a sporting event. If we had the proper level of faith, that would never happen. If we had faith, you know, in terms of our vocation, young people would be asking the question, you know, what is the Lord calling me to do? And they would be willing to take whatever path, whether it's the priesthood or the religious life or whatever career path the Lord leads them on. If we had that type of faith, we would have complete openness to the will of God in our lives. If we had that level of faith, if the Lord was calling us to change our career paths, we would be willing to do that. We would have a complete trust that would enable us to orient our lives and change our lives to however we think it would best fit the will of God. And so Mary gives us, you know, this beautiful example of faith. You know, faith in the divinity of Christ, faith in his teachings, but especially a trust in his will for our lives. And that takes a lot of confidence. You know, for married couples to be open to children, and especially when finances are tight, that takes a deep level of trust. But we have that example. So the first virtue we can see in the Blessed Virgin Mary, and something that we can strive to imitate, is that virtue of faith. Second virtue, hope. There's a collection of writings. It's by Raphael Brown. It's called The Life of Mary, as seen by the mystics. And what he does is he pulls together a number of different saints and mystics who have had visions of the life of Mary. And he compiles those into like an organized sequence of Mary's life. It's not official revelation, meaning it's not what comes directly out of Scripture, but these are visions that the saints have seen, so they can be pretty spiritually beneficial. And one part of that looks at what Mary was doing before the Annunciation. You know, have you ever wondered, what was she doing? Was she asleep and woke up in the middle of the night? Was she like knitting or cooking, or you know, what was she doing before the Archangel Gabriel appeared to us? Well, there's a vision that one of the saints saw of her. It was late at night. She was prostrate on the ground, meaning she was laying down as a sign of complete submission to the will of God, and she was praying for the Savior that would come to deliver Israel. Her hope was so great, and what she was looking forward to was the redemption of Israel, the day that the Savior would come. She wasn't worried about a whole bunch of other things. Her focus was on the coming Savior. And she was also praying in particular that before she died, she would have the chance to lay eyes upon the mother of the Savior, and that she would have the chance to serve her. She had no idea that she was the one who was going to become the mother, but she was simply praying for the future mother and that she would be able to lay eyes on her before she died. Her hope was that before she died, she would just see the coming of the Savior. That's how great her hope was. And of course, the Lord fulfilled that beyond any expectation she would have had in choosing her to be the mother of God. So I think that really speaks to the depth of hope and what Mary was seeking and yearning for in her life. It was the coming of her Savior. That was their greatest desire in her soul. And the third virtue we can look at is the love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. There's a beautiful line in the preface dialogue, which we'll say later in the Mass. The Virgin Mother longed for him with love beyond all telling. You know, who would be yearning for the coming of the Savior more than his own mother? You know, the Blessed Virgin Mary who had conceived the Christ child in her womb. You can imagine in times of silence, she'd be listening for the heartbeat of her child and, you know, any movements of the Christ child within her. You know, that simple yearning. And we can imagine, you know, that very first Christmas night at the Nativity. You know, after all the chaos of their journey to Bethlehem was over and she delivered the Christ child, you can imagine the love with which she would have embraced the Christ child in her arms the very first time. You know, any mother thinking back to the first time that they've held their child, you know, imagine the love that the Blessed Virgin Mary would have embraced the Christ child with, knowing that it was not just her child, but her very Creator and her Savior that she is embracing in her arms. I think there's a special bond between the priesthood and the Virgin Mary, between priests and Mary, because Mary gave the word, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word," when Christ was incarnated into the world and became man. And at Mass, the priest says the words of consecration, which makes Christ present in the world through the Eucharist. You know, so there's a special bond. There's an incarnation at every Mass. And so there's a special affinity between priests and the Blessed Virgin Mary. But, you know, as we look at these virtues of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, how incredible would it be if every time we came to communion and we received the Eucharist, we did so trying to imitate the love of Mary when she first took the Christ child in her arms, her newborn child. You know, how great should our devotion be to the Eucharist. And what a privilege it is for us to come forward and to receive the Eucharist. And so I encourage you in these final days of Advent, if you want to truly prepare yourselves spiritually for Christmas and really deepen the virtues within you, look at these events through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary and strive to imitate her faith, her hope, and her love. You know, pray the joyful mysteries of the rosary in particular, and use that as the lens to enter deeply into these mysteries and to enliven the faith, hope, and charity within your own hearts. If you do so, you know, the joy of Christmas will certainly be much greater in our hearts. So I encourage you to do that in the coming days before Christmas. And John, as you prepare to receive First Communion today, to receive the Lord for the first time, I encourage you to approach through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And as you come forward to receive the Eucharist, the body and blood of your Savior for the first time, to do so with the same tenderness and love of the Blessed Virgin Mary, embracing her child for the first time. And may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bring you to everlasting life.